So 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 19, the Bible says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. Everybody say useless for me. Our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, then we are to be pitied more than all men. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord. And Lord, we are looking for hope in the midst of hopelessness, Lord. We are looking for strength when we grow weary, Lord. We are looking for perseverance, Lord, when we're ready to quit, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would get strength from your message this morning, Lord. That we can grab onto your truth, Lord. That you give us a foundation to stand on, Lord. That there is truth, Lord. That there is conviction, Lord. And that we have a future that you have provided for us, Lord. We take a look at your resurrection, Lord. And we grab onto that expecting our resurrection, Lord. That you have more for us than just this. Amen. More for us than just new suits, as Roki talked about. That you got heavenly suits, Lord. Heavenly bodies, Lord. We give you praise for that, Lord. Knowing that you are able, we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's been an interesting week. Can I get a witness on that? It was an interesting Thursday night. Amen? You know, we had lost our power, I don't know when. It was, did I mention it last Sunday? I can remember it was like, no. We, at my house, our power went out on like Monday night or like on Sunday night or something like that. Or maybe even Tuesday night. It was within the last week. And so I am walking out the house and I'm waiting for Leanne to get home. Leanne's coming home. She's getting a ride home from school. And I'm going, man, I want to go down to Chula Vista. I got to go meet this person. We got to do this thing. And So finally, I'm waiting. I'm getting all the stuff ready. And the power goes out. I'm going, great. Power went out again. You know, so she gets in, you know, and I said, power's out again. And Justin was, I think Jared was there. And he said, yeah, the power's down at the light, too. I said, well, the power went off at the light the other day. So anyway, I jump in my car, and I remember, because there's a little red light on there that says check gauge. Now, that check gauge light in my car means you are ready to run out of gas right now. Go immediately to the gas station. I'm like, okay. And so I'm going, oh, I forgot to get gas last night. You know, what a bummer. Okay. So I'm just getting ready. I mean, the power's been off for like 5 minutes. And I'm getting ready to drive down to Chula Vista. How brilliant of a move would that have been, huh? With no gas. Oh, yeah. So anyway, I got the radio on, and I'm driving. I said, ooh, gas station number one is closed. And I hear the guy on the radio saying, something is going on. There's no power in Chula Vista. There's no power in Carlsbad. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm just turning around, and I am going to go home and wait this thing out. We start turning water on, you know, filling up pots. Who knows how long this outage is going to last. It was messed up. Amen? The whole thing, I'm sure you know, was due to human error. Guy was doing some routine maintenance in Yuma or Arizona or someplace and messed up. Can you imagine that guy? You know, it's like, and he goes, and I got to think he's thinking, maybe it's not so bad. And then, you know, he's probably got to have banks of equipment there, and he just starts doing, 5 million people without power. Is that incredible? And I got the guy called super, hey, I'm going to go on break right now. I'll be right back. You know, what he wanted to do was just run away and hide. Amen? And so I'm back at my house, you know, and there's really nothing I can do. You know, I mean, don't have a generator, don't have nothing. And realistically, the only thing, my phone wasn't even working. Roki called me. That was the only phone call I got. My phone was not working. The only thing I could do is sit around and wait until it was fixed. Amen? The message of the gospel is similar to that. It's the same message. Everything is messed up. And all we can do is sit around until it gets fixed. Are you tracking with me here? Jesus is coming back to fix everything. Bible tells us one guy messed it up. I think he wanted to run away and hide. In fact, he said, where are you, Adam? I'm hiding. I messed everything up. We're waiting around on the guy who's going to come around and fix it, and Jesus is that guy. Amen? Now, we're talking about the gospel. We're talking about the foundation of the message of hope, which is his resurrection. Title of our series is called The Reality of the Resurrection. And we're going to start off in 1 Corinthians. We're going to take a look at the end of John, three or four different pictures of how people responded to the resurrection of Christ. But I wanted to lay a foundation here in 1 Corinthians. And I saw as I was reading this how key to the plan of redemption that the resurrection of Christ is. So we're going to take a look at that today, this new series. Title of today's message is One Way Home. Are we okay? Yeah. Amen. Okay, here we go. We need to keep things in perspective. Sometimes you get things out of perspective. Sometimes you got some extra drama going on in your week and you're going, oh, things are out of perspective. Paul says, hey, let's keep this in order. Let's keep this under wraps. There was a problem in Corinth. There was some talk going around that only the people, that's why he's writing this, only the people that are alive when Christ comes back make it to heaven. That if you died before Jesus comes back, you're lost. And that's what Paul's talking about. He said, hey, hold on here. Let's keep things in perspective. He says, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you. I want to remind you of the message that I brought to you. I want to remind you of the good news that I brought to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand, on which you have now based your life. You have a message from God that transforms the way you look at your life and the choices that you make. Can you relate to that part? Amen? All right. He says, it is by this gospel, it is by this message that you are saved. If, you say if for me, please. If. He says, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. Plan for keeps, folks. Amen? Remember where we started. Paul's saying, hey, don't get all wound up here. It's going to be okay. Hold on to what I gave you. The truth that you have will get you through this current challenge. The truth that you have will get you through the challenges you're facing this week. Amen? The truth that you have, that you have received, even if it's just this much, will take you through. Why? Because the Holy Spirit rides that truth and will guide you and direct you to where you need to go. Amen? Amen. He says, remember where we started, man. We talked about this stuff. He says, I brought you the good news. What is that good news? That God so loved the world that he gave his son. John 3:16. Amen. The message is also that Jesus so loved us that he came. That he left heaven and put on skin. Two massive acts of love by our Creator. Amen. Are you tracking with me today? Amen. All right. I don't want to get too big on you. This was life-changing news for the Corinthians, okay? Wow. God is real. God is close. Because, I mean, it was like San Francisco. It was like New York City. They had so much stuff going on and just all kinds of just bad stuff going on. And the message that Paul brought, God cares for you. God came for you. God died for you to transform your situation. It was a life-transforming message that the Corinthians could base their lives on. It was something where they could stand on. One of the values, primary values we have in this church, we depend on God. We depend on God. I was sitting in my house waiting for my power to come on. Nothing I could do. I was dependent on SDG&E to get it fixed. I depend on God to fix my life. There's stuff that I do to follow Him, but He's the driver. And I'm following. I'm sitting in the passenger seat saying, Lord, where do you want to go on this? There are challenges that come to each one of us. They are permitted to teach us strength. Joe's playing football, and they got him doing all kinds of running and stuff. And I was there the other day, and they're doing this running. This one kid comes, actually the kid playing behind Joe, comes off, and they got that fake grass, you know, an AstroTurf, whatever that stuff with the crunched up tires and all that kind of stuff. And they made it real clear to the boys, don't be throwing up on our fake grass, because it's like a carpet. And so they run around the gate. They all start throwing up in the trash can. And this guy's there just heaving and throwing up. Why? He wasn't in shape. He says, you know, there's challenges that are going to come to you. They're going to force you to grab onto God. Force you to depend on God. He says, do not give up on the truth that I told you. Don't let it slip away. He says, you hold firmly to that message. If it slips away, you will have believed in vain. Faith only counts if it lasts to the end. If your faith somehow breaks off halfway because of some grand challenge that you are going through, you will have believed in vain. Say, well, I went to City Heights Assembly for 2 years. It says, you will have believed in vain. My truth, the truth of my God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a truth that will take you through every challenge. And He expects growth. Roki said, I didn't want to wear a suit because I didn't want to be a leader. God's calling me to be a leader. He's wearing a coat today. God's calling you to do great things. Linda's studying to be a preschool teacher. God's calling her to do great things. God is calling every person in here to do great things. God is calling you to grow. If you are going to grow, you got to get a grasp on the truth. Amen? Amen? All right, point number B here. Uh-oh. Did you touch that mouse? Did I do something? Oh, I did. There's an on-off switch here. Keeping things in perspective, verses 3 through 5, Bible says, for what I received, I passed on to you. You know, Paul's not making this stuff up. He says, what I got from God, I told you. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Not something we're kind of going to get around to. Not something that we think you might like to hear. I'll tell you what, we're not going to have any sermons on how to bounce your checkbook around here. We're not going to have any sermons on how you can feel happy in your workplace around here. We're going to talk about the message of Christ, life-transforming truth of God that you can base your life on. Amen? That's what Paul said. This is of primary importance. This is the top. He says, Christ died for your sins. According to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to 12 and then some other folks. And he says, this is a message that's been verified. Don't let somebody come along and say, oh, you're just believing a joke, man. He goes, this is a message that has passed scrutiny. There's 26,000 fragments that come that this word of God is based. I was talking to some other guy. Oh, yeah, it's just been made up. Oh, Constantinople, he was the emperor of Rome, and he changed all this stuff. I said, dude, we got 26,000 fragments. Well, Constantinople changed them all. No. We got all these fragments before he was there. Amen. This word This word, it's been verified. The testimony of Christ raised from the dead, been verified. It has been verified enough that you can bank your life on it, that you can depend on God. Amen? Message of the gospel. Christ died for your sins and he was raised from the dead. Sins are our problem. Sin is your problem. And you know what? There's nothing that you can do about it. You can't pay for them. It's just like that power. You can just sit around waiting for the guys to come and fix it. And our sins, we can't do anything about it. We can just wait for someone to come and fix it. God knew we would need some help. The message of the gospel, the plan of God, describes how God would deal with our sin. Christ died for our sins as prophesied. Prophesied, kind of like what Larry said. Prophesying is a foretelling of the word that in an essence, I'm prophesying right here, just telling forth the truth of God. But prophecy also can have a predictive nature to it. And they're referencing that. Isaiah 53:5. Isaiah lived 600 years before Christ. 600 years ago, there was not even a United States and America. There's just Indians running around here. 600 years ago. That's how long? 600 years. 600 years. I guess 1492? Yeah, let's get to 2000. Yeah. There's nothing going on here. That's how long this prophecy was before Christ. He says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. You want to be blown away? Write that scripture down. Read that whole chapter. And it will describe Christ's life and death in such detail that you will be blown away. How can Isaiah do that 600 years before Christ? Because God told him. And God gets it right. Amen? Amen. So that is his death for our sins. And then we talk about the resurrection. Hosea 6, 1 and 2. Hosea like 400 years before Christ. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. Now, does that sound like the resurrection of Christ? Amen. 3 days. Living in his presence. Why? Because Christ can deal with our sin. He can do something that you could never get done. And he says, hey, that resurrection was verified by eyewitnesses. Talks about Peter seeing him and the apostles and the disciples. And after all that, 500 more. And he says, they're still living. You're in doubt? Go find one of them. Ask them. Because eyewitness testimony is the best kind of evidence that there is. There's all kinds of stuff going on, circumstantial evidence and all that kind of stuff. We got shows about that. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, they put it all together. Now, we don't watch that show because the heinousness of the crime. I'll tell you what, I've never watched a whole CSI. I don't know if they got 10 different kinds of CSIs. I don't know. And they got the Navy one. Never watched one of those either, because there's somebody chopping people's heads off or some crazy kind of stuff. But you know who else used to do that? Quincy. You know, I hated that show too. I never really liked that show. I don't know why, you know, because he was it was a bunch of dead guys. He was a coroner, right? Dead people. But well, that guy who you put it together and nail you in, Columbo. Now, he was the master, right? But before all that, you know, and he just boxed you in until you just gave it up, I did it. But before all that, Perry Mason, man, every day go home for lunch and Perry Mason would be on, you know, come back, 12:49, he'd have that dude on the stand, and he'd be, oh, it was me. And it's always a great story of Sherlock Holmes, all that kind of stuff, but what does away with all that stuff is an eyewitness. I saw him do it. When somebody says, I saw Jesus Christ raised from the dead, there was no problem with him dying. There's all kinds of people saw him hanging on a cross. The challenge was to the resurrection. And there's 500 people walking around saying, I saw him raised from the dead. You can bank on that. It is something that you can build your life on. It is something that you can believe. It is something that you can grab onto. Amen? All right, here we go. He says, and there's comfort in the truth. Comfort in the truth. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection? How come you're worried about this? He says, you need to be able to connect the dots here, folks. You know, I mean, there's not a premium on responsibility in our culture today. That if you mess up and you lose, somebody's just going to bail you out and it's not going to be a big deal. Oh, I messed up. Oh, let's fix that for you. Rhett was telling my wife about his injury in football. And my son was injured, wasn't able to play this weekend because he sprained his wrist. Rhett broke his back playing high school football. My wife is rethinking the whole high school football thing now. But you know what? You know, in Little League, it's like everybody gets the bat. We're not going to keep score, you know. And in high school football, they don't play like that. They play for keeps. And you know what? Life is for keeps. You don't want to believe in vain. You don't want to end up in the wrong spot. You want to lose your grasp on the truth. And Paul is saying, guys, we covered this. Don't get mixed up here. God is expecting you to be responsible. God is expecting you to be able to think. God is expecting you to be able to put it together and not be deceived. Jesus says, don't be deceived. Luke chapter 21, verse 8. Why? Because there is a risk. You are in danger. There are those who will lie to you. There are those who will rip you off. Can I get a witness on that? He says, be smart. Take comfort in the truth. And don't get distracted. He says, if Jesus was raised from the dead, and we got all these witnesses, then death is no great barrier to God. And if he raised Jesus from the dead, he can raise you from the dead. Dead is no problem for God. God is bigger than dead. Amen? So what are you sweating? Come on, guys. You've got to connect the dots. And he said, don't waste my time on this. We covered this. We need to be moving on to bigger stuff. You have to trust the Lord. One of our biggest values, we depend on God. If you're going to depend on God, you have to trust his word. You're going to trust his word. You got to know his word, folks. Don't come here. I mean, don't come here without your Bible. Don't let your weekly Bible reading be this. Be up there. I believed in vain. It's like, well, I read the word every week. You just read the screen. Come on, get some pages involved. Now, some of you guys read, like Sally reads on her screen. Okay. Electronic stuff. It's beyond me. Okay. But, all right. Let's talk about the resurrection is fundamental, foundational to your salvation, to the truth of the gospel. He says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And he's making this argument. He's kind of coming from a negative side. Hey, if there's no resurrection of the dead, Jesus hasn't been raised. He says, if Jesus has not been raised, then our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Right? He says, grab on your faith, otherwise you will have believed in vain. And he says right now, if Christ was not raised, you got nothing to grab onto. And you're already believing in vain. And he says, hey, we're going to be pitied more than all men. Let's go out and eat, drink, and be merry. Let's just go get a buzz. Because all this is a scam. There's no resurrection, then Christ is not raised. It says in verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Remember, that's our biggest problem. We're waiting for somebody to show up to deal with our sin. And the guy we were waiting on, Jesus, showing up, it was all a ripoff. You guys have been ripped off before, right? You believe a lie and you own it and you're sitting there buying this stuff. It's like them guys who sell speakers, you know, and they get the box all set up and they got bricks inside. Get home and open it up, bricks.
I got ripped off. I'm so bummed. Can't even return them. They're good bricks.
You say, why does it really matter? I mean, Jesus could have gone to the cross and died for my sins. What does it really matter if he wasn't raised? We can get by with just the sacrifice. But the problem is, he said he was going to be raised. The problem is that God said he was going to be raised. The problem was, if God's lying on that, how do we know we can trust him on? He says, if God's a liar, then the whole thing falls apart. Maybe God's just not that good. Maybe he was just lying. But God is that good. And Jesus was raised from the dead. He was seen by Peter, seen by the disciples, and seen by 500 other people. Paul says, man, you got to connect the dots. You got to put this thing together. You got to use your brains. I mean, a lot of people, you know, think you come into church, you got to check your brain at the door. No. Figure it out. It makes sense. I'm a little bummed Mario is not here. Sometimes he has to work on the weekends. But he comes in here, joy to my heart, new believer, wearing Raiders gear. And sorry, just in case he wasn't here, yeah, brought my cap. Yeah. And I did a little research today, or actually Friday. And I went to the NFL.com. And they had all these commentators, five commentators, and they all had their picks for the whole year. And I checked the AFC West. Every one of them picked the Chargers to take the AFC West. Three of the five picked the Raiders to finish third. One picked them to finish last. And one picked them to finish second. Now, I can connect the dots there. You know, realistically, I can hope for seconds. I can fear fourth. But realistically, I'm probably looking at third place. Man, for like 10 years in a row, it's getting old being a Raiders fan. It used to be so fun. And realistically, Chargers probably going to win the AFC West. Why? Got to connect the dots. Got to take a look and see what's going on around. Here's a Raiders fan. Look at that. She's running from the building right now. Not third! No! I'm just messing with you, Linda. I know you're really a Patriots fan. Hey, the truth. Connect the dots. We grow people. You're going to grow. Got to grab onto the truth. Got to connect the dots. Got to move past the petty stuff and get real challenges. Amen? All right. Point number three. The end will come. I did some eschatology stuff last week or the week before talking about the end times. We're going to take a look at that right quick. And we're going to talk about end times. Verses 20 through 22. But Christ has indeed been raised. Hey, I was just kind of playing with you there for a minute. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, and the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, and Jesus leads the way. Amen? He says that he is the first fruits of those who have been raised from the dead. Now, the first fruits is, you know, they have a feast of first fruits. It's an Old Testament kind of thing. It's a Jewish kind of thing where you take the first of the crop and you present it to the Lord because you got all the rest of that crop coming in. And what Paul is saying here, who's a Jewish guy, is Jesus is the first fruits. He's the first one from the dead to be raised. But there's a whole crop that's coming afterward. Amen? Yeah, we're part of the crop. We're Jesus is leading the way. We are just following him. He calls us brothers, you know. He adopts us into his family. He says, you guys are with me. See, Adam brought sin and death into the world, just like the guy who plugged that thing into the wrong place in Arizona. And everything started frying. That's Adam, man. He started frying the planet. Death and sin entered the world. And we got no way to fix it. But Jesus comes. And Jesus is fixing it. Adam even surrendered dominion of this world to the devil. John calls him in his gospel the prince of this world. But there was always a plan to get it fixed. Amen? Amen. Jesus came to fix it, and he made a great sacrifice. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus, eternally preexistent, so the Bible says that through him, everything was created. Created everything at the beginning. And get a picture of that. Jump ahead to verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That Jesus came to restore that creation that had been destroyed by Adam's act of sin. Death and sin entered in where there was no death or sin. Now, what happened in his becoming flesh? Get Philippians chapter 2, 6 and 7. Who being in very nature God made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. I've heard that described as, there was an impending a doom to the ant population, like the bug man or the whoever, who's the bug people, they got the song? Corky's, yeah, Corky's Pest Control. Corky's is coming, you know, and you're going to try and warn the ants, look out, Corky's is coming, right? And they don't understand English. So maybe Natty would become an ant to go tell all the ants to watch out. That's what Jesus did for us. It's like becoming eternally preexistent with God for outside of time, to then put on skin would be like Natty becoming an ant. How big of a sacrifice do you think that is? Massive. But that's how much the Lord cares about you. Come in here today with challenges more than you can bear. Paul says, remember the message of the gospel that I preached to you. A life-transforming message that God loved you enough to come and to make a change. Amen? Is that a good message? All right. Second part of this. The coming order of events. This is what's going to happen at the resurrection. He says, but each in his own turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, and then the end will come. When he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And this is how the end is going to come. And the Bible says that Jesus is going to take this messed up, sin-filled, death-filled creation and clean it up and hand it back to God when it's all polished up. Can you get that picture? It's like, here you go, Dad. There you go. Now, he's going to what? He's going to overcome. He's going to destroy dominion, authority, and power. Well, if you take a look at Ephesians 6, those are the same things that are messing with us. Amen? That our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against dominions, authorities, and powers. Right? And so we're doing God's work down here. We're pushing back the darkness, but our victory does not come by what we do. It comes by what he does. Amen? Amen. Now, I want you to notice something. Says, man, did I put it up here? Says that, I did not put it up here. I have to read it for you, though. Hope I got it. Oh, yes, I got it. Verse 26, 27. He says, for he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says everything has been put under him, it is clear that he does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Jesus came to this planet as an ant or as one of us. You know, that big old ship. I want to just kind of remind you of how big a ship that was. That God so loved the world that he gave his son, and Jesus so loved the world that he came. That he emptied himself, that he left some of him, so to speak, back up in heaven. Says he's going to do a work down here. That he's coming back and he's going to destroy every dominion, every authority, and every power. Amen? And he's going to destroy last of all death. He says, behold, I hold the keys of death and Hades. Amen? He's got it. Keys of his blood. Amen? He purchased those keys. Amen? All right. Then he says he's going to polish this creation all up. In fact, he says he's going to recreate. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. No more death. All the enemies of God will have been destroyed. The Antichrist will have been destroyed. All the nations will have been taken out. He says there's a 1,000-year reign. The end is going to come. He's going to reign for 1,000 years, and he's going to rule with a rod and a scepter. And at the end of that 1,000 years, the devil will be released, and all those people that are grumbling against Jesus Christ's reign here on earth, they will be led astray by the devil, and they will be destroyed. And at the end, it will all be perfected. And he's going to polish that thing up, and he's going to hand it back to the Father. And it will be subject to the Father. And it says, he will be subject to. I'm looking at that. Wait. He's done. It's creation the way it was before Adam messed it up. It's redeemed. It's restored. It's polished. It's glorified. It's all set up. Why is he subject to the Father? And he is subject because he aligns himself, he ties himself to the creation. And he says, they're with me, and I'm with them. Now, he's still fully God, but there is something that happened as he emptied himself. Something that happened as he tied himself to the creation, that he is like the bridge between creation and the Father. When I was in Bible college, I went out on the street. And when I say that, my wife snickers. Right. She mocks me. She goes, one day, big whoop. Well, it's actually a day, a night, another day. And we were going to do this thing, and I had 20 guys. We were going to go up to San Francisco for 2 weeks and live on the street. And they started falling off like cordwood, man, and pretty soon it was just me. And I said, well, I'm not going all the way to San Francisco. I'm just going to go out on the streets of Santa Cruz. And I had one of the guys at the school drop me off, man. I went into, like, the homeless camp. I had a nice dark black beard back then. I was only 30, man, a big old lumberjack, and I hadn't shaved since Thanksgiving. This is New Year's Day. I hadn't shaved since Thanksgiving. I hadn't bathed since Christmas. Yeah, she wasn't dating me. And I saw this girl I knew from high school as I'm leaving Fresno, man. What are you doing? I'm going to the streets of Santa Cruz. She was in New York City. She goes, who is this guy? This is kind of weird. It was like 10 years later. Huh? Big whoop, Lisa says. One day. And you know what? It was kind of scary, man. I really thought they were going to kill me. I mean, it was just me. You're not one of us. But they didn't. And obviously, I'm still here. Not raised from the dead. That's not what this illustration's about. But, having fun there, huh? Why? But check it out. I'm walking away. Oh, I got a minute. I'm all homied up, right? And I run into this Jehovah's Witness and blew her mind, man. It was a whole year and a half in Bible college. And then there's this other lady. Kind of picture Gail on a bike. She was on a bike. And I'm walking around, you know, and I'm bored to death, man. I'm like, what do these homeless guys do all day? I'm dying out here. And I got no money. I'm like trying to find money on the ground. And this lady comes up to me, and she gets like 20 yards away. And she goes, God bless you. And she starts pedaling her bike away as fast as she can. I'm like, hey, lady. Not having it. But in all that, I was cool with it. Because I knew at the end of the day, I was going to go take a shower. I was going to shave my beard off. And I was going back. Jesus knew he was never going back. It was a one-way trip for our Lord that included his sacrifice on the cross, but it also included a shift in the relationship that he had with the Father for eternity so that he could maintain a grasp on us. How do I know that? Take a look at Jesus' prayer. John 17. He says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me. And I see this bridge of Jesus grabbing onto the hand of the Father and grabbing onto creation. And that's why Paul says, don't lose grasp of the gospel that I preach to you. You will lose grasp on the Lord, and you will have believed in vain. He says, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me. The resurrection is key, folks, because in it, God proves himself. There is some stuff that is difficult to picture, but Jesus came from heaven, died on a cross, went back to heaven, and reaches out to us. Grab onto that. Lisa's going to come up and play. We're almost done, but I want to pray. Because maybe you're here today, and you're not feeling real good right now. You're feeling a little worried how strong your grip is on the truth. A lot of folks not here today. Pray for them that their grip on the truth is secure, not being shaken. Because the enemy, oh man, the enemy just wants to bust your fingers off so you can't grab on. Lord, we come before you this morning knowing that you are great and mighty, Lord, knowing that you love me enough, Lord, to come and die on a cross, but Lord, also to come to leave the Father, Lord, and grab onto me and grab onto the Father and make a bridge. And that is the message, the good news, Lord, that I couldn't do anything about my sin, Lord, but you could, that you lived a sinless life. You died on a cross to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, to cleanse me from all my sin. Maybe you're here this morning. And you feel like I did during that power outage. I can't do anything about this. I'm just waiting for the guys to fix this. And today you got a message that says to you that you can't do anything about your sin and you need the Lord Jesus Christ to fix it. And you would say, as our Lord Jesus Christ has one hand in the hand of the Father, and reach out that other hand to you and say, my son, my daughter, I have a solution for your life. It is me. That you would surrender your life to him and grab on and say, Lord, I don't ever want to let go. And that's you this morning. And you want to reach out that hand. Nobody looking around. The Lord Jesus Christ is just speaking right to your heart, saying, just even through Larry at the beginning of our time, says that I have an answer for what ails you. I have perseverance for your persecution. I have strength for your challenge. You're saying, Lord, I understand it now. Lord, I'll make I surrender my life to you. I want to put my hand in your hand. I want to be transformed. Nobody's looking around. saying, Lord, as you were raised from the dead, I want to be raised from the dead, Lord, and I want to spend eternity with you. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord is reaching out to your hand, and you just say with an upraised hand, Lord, that is me, Lord. I want to go to heaven. I want to trust you, Lord, for my salvation. Just raise your hand up and say, here I am, God. Find me today, right here and here and there and there. Somebody else would be here today, here and here. And there, you can put your hands on when I see you. Say, right here, here I am, Lord. Maybe you are here today and your grip's been getting a little weak, getting a little shaky. Lord's saying, yep, shaky. You're barely holding on to my fingernail. You're getting ready to slip off, and your faith will have been in vain. He says, from heaven, I'm worried about you, child. I've been sending you messages all week long, and you haven't heard them, but you're hearing this today. See, there's some people who get that message all week long, and they didn't make it today. He says, child, you got enough to get a better grasp today. Time to start depending on me. Time to start growing in me. Time to make me number one. Lord, speaking to your heart this morning, you'd say, here I am, Lord, I trust you today. With an upraised hand, say, Lord, my grip has been weak right here, and somebody else there, back there. Some will grab on tight right here. Amen. Amen. Now we're gonna sing. Lisa's playing that song. This is the one we've been waiting for. Waiting for. Waiting for. Waiting for. Waiting for. Waiting for.